Step into your private luxury premium blocked party episode. The content you can only get by giving us your money. Look at you, you're such a big time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another bonus edition of Blocked Party. This is Cullen the Herd number 7. I'm surprised I've even been blocked by 7 people, to be fully honest with
you. You're catching up to me, I think, at this point.
I mean, I don't think so. I think you just forget a lot of yours. I think you've been blocked by more people, but you kind of just forget.
Yeah. And, well, the guy for today, like the block today, is one where I'm shocked that I am not blocked by
him. I thought you were. Like, I was like, well, we should do a hell block the herd because we've definitely both been blocked by this guy.
No.
But you haven't. So that's crazy. Although he has blocked our guest this week. We're very happy to have him on the show. You may know him on Twitter as @weedguy420boner, and he's a great friend of Stefan's. Greg is here. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thank you for having me. I needed to get on a podcast because I was on YKS a month ago or so, and my microphone situation was very bad. Everyone else sounded like they were in studio. I sounded like I was on like the space station. And so I immediately bought a microphone just in case I was ever on a podcast again. Hopefully today I sound okay. I don't know. I don't know how it sounds. I'm hoping it sounds good.
You sound very good.
It sounds like you've left the space station. Like you're still not on Earth, but you're getting close. You're in like the troposphere right now.
I'm on a plane. All right.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big improvement.
Yeah. I mean, I brought this up before the show, but you came on the Go Off Kings a few times to be our dungeon master for, I mean, not D&D, but a D&D equivalent dungeon quest or whatever it was called. And I think your mic situation then was substantially worse.
That was I do not know what exactly the problem was. We did buy some microphones, but I was in my office and the network is set up so that the part of the network we were allowed to access would like fuck us over.
I feel like you and John Hendren went to like Fry's Electronics or whatever, right, to pick up a couple like headsets.
The circular Yetis, the snow globes or whatever.
Yeah. Snowball.
Yeah. We're trying that. But yeah, I know that was also not a great success in terms of the audio quality.
Well, it's not really great if you buy a mic and it's like, this can pick up 360 degrees. You could have 5 people sitting around a table and everyone will get picked up. And then the microphone is like $79. That's not like a good combination of things.
Yeah, it's a mic designed for the scene in every episode of That 70s Show where they're all smoking weed in the basement, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one of those. I think that was the first mic I ever got for the purposes of like recording shit online. And I think it's fine if you are in a room by yourself and you're not recording anything online and you're speaking like directly into the very front of the mic. But it's, I mean, what do you have? You have like an actual microphone now.
I got the Blue Yeti, man. I got what, our friend Paul, he had it. He has this microphone. He sounded good. So I said, you know, whatever the cost, as long as it's under $200, no matter what the cost, I'm going to buy the microphone that I need to sound good sometime in the future because I was so humiliated by YKS.
Did Jesse kind of call you out for it? Because I know he does sort of, like, he doesn't pull any punches.
You know, I mean, I don't know if he made fun of me, but a lot of other people did, which made it even worse.
Like, people you don't know. That's the worst when it's like, you know, just strangers on the internet who are like, you know, fuck you for not owning a mic. Guy,
no, it was worse than that. It was like an actual friend. Our mutual friend Cliff. He was like, yeah, I can't wait to listen to it. And then he's like, wow, Paul, you sound great. Greg, what the fuck? And it's like, man.
Well, Dan, so. I mean, producer Dan obviously works on YCast as well. So maybe you could shift the blame to him.
No, I can't. I'll tell you why. I was going on the show and I thought, this is cool. You know, fan of producer Dan, I'm sure, you know, as we all are. I get on the recording. He's not there. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are they faking it? Are they just...
The one thing they're faking is Dan's paycheck. We know that. The Block Party pays Dan on time, but YKS we're still not sure about. You know, it's funny to me because hearing all this, because, you know, I obviously the Block Party studio is in my house. So I have an elite studio set up. I'm currently speaking into an $800 microphone being run through a soundboard. And, YKS has never invited me on the show. But you know, they're like, oh yeah, is your laptop mic broken? Whatever. That's fine. We can work with it.
Well, John, we've been on a couple times, John.
You have been on the show, so.
I have, but only with Stefan.
You haven't done a solo episode.
I'm only as good as Stefan's partner, I find, in a lot of these situations.
Okay, so you're waiting for the solo invite.
It's probably not going to happen now because, you know, like I said, Jesse was talking shit about me on the YKS bonus this week. I think he's mad about the whole Pacific Rim situation.
Sure. That when I invited Greg on, the first thing you asked was, are you tricking me like you did with Jesse? And we're not. It's a regular episode that we're doing. So don't worry. This is
I tried to
episode.
Think of what the trick could be.
Well,
and I couldn't really think of an angle.
The funny part for me is like, I said this to Stefan earlier this week, is like, yes, we like tricked Jesse, whatever you want to say, but we also like, it's like the most innocent trick on earth. Like it's not like, you know, I know Jesse's like probably not that mad because it's not like we, you know, we didn't scramble his voice or like, you know, move things around so it appeared he said things and
that next time.
We totally should. But it was just like an innocent like, hey, yeah, by the way, we managed to get you to talk about Pacific Rim 2 for 20 minutes and you didn't even know that was the theme of the episode. I mean, that's a pretty chill trick, I would say, especially since he loves Pacific Rim so much.
Yeah, that's like Christian sleepaway camp. It's like, oh, we got him so bad. Made him talk about Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah, we got him. I mean, it all came about because the user that paid us for that, Fat Raccoon, had a theory that you could get Jesse to talk about Pacific Rim enough that it would feel like that was the theme of the episode without him even knowing. And that like you wouldn't have to tell him, he just would get so into talking about Pacific Rim. And I mean, that really just held true. I mean, we managed to get him to talk about it pretty easily for a pretty long time.
I was about to ask, I'll wait until Dan is ready to talk here, but I was going to ask him where he was during the YKS recording with Greg. Were you recording with us at the time?
I was probably either recording with you guys or sleeping.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Have you've slept through YKS recordings before? Because you've never slept through one of ours. I mean, you've been late, but you've never actually fully just missed one.
Well, I mean, Jesse usually just DMs me like the morning of the show and is like, hey, we're doing it at this time. So if I'm not awake to get that, then I just...
Right, no. Okay. So it's not
I'm
your
not
fault.
There.
Yeah,
that well, one makes it's kind sense. Of my fault. I shouldn't be sleeping until like 4 p.m., but...
I mean, it is funny sometimes where like, I know you stay up so late that usually if I want a bonus episode for the next day, I'll ask you the day before because then I know when I wake up... Like if I ask you on a Tuesday and I want it for Wednesday, I know when I wake up on Wednesday, it'll be ready. But then if it's a situation like this week where I need something edited out of the podcast that we missed, I was like, oh, fuck, Dan's not going to be awake till 5. So I guess this just isn't coming out until Thursday.
Working with Dan is the equivalent of if we had a producer who lived in like Australia or something. It's basically the same thing. Like,
I looked into it a couple days ago and I'm basically on Australian time right now.
Like if Dan lived in Australia, he would be just on our normal time, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe we should move you to Australia, Dan. Would that interest you?
No, not really.
Okay.
Well, don't think
okay.
so.
You know, that could be a Patreon goal. We haven't updated our Patreon goals in a while, so maybe that's the next one.
Yeah, I mean, we already did Canada Juice.
Yeah.
So I guess whenever we manage to get to 10,000, we have to do Dan. We got a Queer Eye Dan. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as we can like hang out in person again, I think that's the next step. So
the next step.
Oh man, I am.
Our friend, John Hendren moved to Australia recently.
Yeah.
And he also likes to stay up late. Not extremely late. I mean, he works with me and he has to be able to work at 9 a.m. Now, but he used to come in the office at 11 a.m. That was fine. But yeah, because of the time zones, I need him awake on normal local business hours. But he still stays up late, so much so that when I'm starting my day and I am, you know, taking my morning crap and checking checking the chat, then John is in there and he's very active and he will be for several hours while I'm starting my day. He's still finishing his at, I don't know, 1-2 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes for a while. I feel like at this point now in the chat, it seems like he's just on there 24/7 to me at least.
Yeah. It's way more normal now.
Yeah.
And it's also, you're getting the best time. The night posts are the best posts. So that's like, I'm asleep when he's talking about Hooters Air for 3 hours, you know, in the middle of the night. But it's so nice to wake up to.
He got Hooters Air in his flight sim too. I'm very happy for him. He had talked about that. He posted a picture of the actual Hooters airplane on his Twitter feed like a month ago, I feel like. And then I don't know if it's someone who saw it who modded it into the game, but there is now a Hooters Air 747 in the game, and he's been flying it around. It's great. I love it.
I think for the people who like that flight simulator, then making it as one-to-one with the real world is their whole thing. And so like any plane that has ever existed, one of those little freaks is going to make. And so they got down to Hooters Air on the checklist of planes.
Yeah. I've been playing it again recently and, I enjoy it. It is a lot of fun, but it's the most work I've had to put into a game to enjoy it, I think, because it is like a hardcore simulator. And my idea of just like, oh, I'll take like, 20 minutes and just fly around Iceland for a bit. I'll take off from Reykjavik and fly to the mountains. And it's like, well, that's going to take you like 45 minutes to get there because it's in like real time. It's like it's the size of the earth. So it's not quite as pick up and play as maybe I would like, but I do enjoy it. It is a lot of fun.
Oh, is that true? Like if you want to fly from like Vancouver to Toronto, it would take 4 hours?
It would take
hours?
The full time. Yes. Yeah.
No.
It's the entire
Doesn't
world.
That sound fun?
Come on. Yeah. You're shitting me.
No, I'm serious. It's the is entire no, fucking
like,
world.
Is there like no speed mode?
You can like skip ahead and you can also like, you don't necessarily have to take off from an airport.
You can go to the little planet in Dragon Ball Z and that's like, the gravity is the same as one Earth, but
yeah.
In terms of absolute space, you can fly around it very fast.
Yeah. But yeah, John, you can. So obviously, they have like all the big airports around the world. It is sort of funny because it's Microsoft Flight Sim that they've taken all of the Bing satellite data. So it does feel like maybe a little, you know, it could potentially be better. But it's still, you know, you're flying. I've flown from Vancouver up to like the Gulf Islands, up to like Hornby Island, and it takes like the full, you know, 30-40 minutes, like full. The full flight. I've seen people online streaming flights from like Dubai to like Paris, you know, and they'll just simulate it. And the majority of the flight is just them above the clouds.
That's a nightmare. Like that's an absolute nightmare. What is that? I mean, I knew the flight sim, like obviously I knew about the game and a lot of people were talking about it when it came out and it sounded interesting. And now it sounds like the least interesting thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. And I'm a guy who likes calm stuff. Like I go in float tanks. I like to do yoga. I like to meditate.
You go in float tanks?
Oh yeah. I love that. Really? I mean, not in COVID because I don't want to. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
But before that, yeah, of course. Like once every month or two.
Now, so basically, my entire knowledge of float tanks comes from that one Simpsons episode. Do you hallucinate in the float tanks?
No.
Okay. So
I mean, you'd have to. I mean, if you took LSD before you went in the float tank,
sure. Yeah.
But no, it's like it's. What I would say about float tanks is that if you've never meditated before, it'd be really hard. I mean, you like
to, like, can you bring your phone in there?
Yeah, yeah. You bring it in the water. Yeah. They're all waterproof now, so it's
playing
fine.
Games on my phone in the float tank.
I mean, honestly, though, yeah, it would be fine. Like if I had a float tank in my house, it would be perfect to just like put a podcast on and then like float, because you can.
I feel like that's the next natural step after the Peloton for you.
Can you pee in it or what?
I mean, if you want to float in your own piss, then yeah, sure, you can. I mean, I don't know how that would work. Like, maybe the piss would sink to the bottom. And then you'd like never touch it.
So maybe next time. Okay. So next time you go in the float tank, John, for me and for Greg, can you piss in the float tank?
I mean, I don't think I will, but, okay. We'll see. I don't know how that works, but it's nice. I mean, yeah, because they have speakers in the float tank, because that's how they tell you that your float's almost over, is
right.
That they turn music on with like 5 minutes left in the float, but you can actually ask them to just leave that sort of ambient music on all the time, which makes me think like, it would be nice to just have a podcast playing or whatever. Cause I think sometimes it is hard to like just lay there. Cause you go in, if you go to like a float tank place, it's like you go 90 minutes. So, I mean, it's a long time to kind of just lay there. So
Jesus
maybe
Christ.
I could get them to put Flight Simulator on the roof of the float tank.
Like,
and then I could kill
10 minutes,
kill two birds with one stone.
It's an hour and a half.
Yeah. I mean, you can obviously get out whenever you want, but like you have up to 90 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and there's really like they're not playing a movie or something.
There's no, nothing. It's literally pitch black. Like so I wouldn't say that you hallucinate, but the first like 10 minutes you're in the tank, you do almost kind of feel like you're falling or something. Like, cause it's a very weird, cause you're floating on this water. You can't see anything. It is a very like, you know, disorienting experience at first. And then,
I mean, once you're being bored to death, like what I thought was an expression, but it sounds, it's like, oh God, I'm dying from being so fucking bored. I need to piss.
I mean, it does feel really good on your body. Like, I would say that, like, if you could bring, like, games in there, like, you know, it would be fine. Like, because it does have good effects on your body, and you could just skip the mental part of it. And I think that would be...
Now we're talking.
It feels like, you could do, like, the airplane edit of, like, the Jamie Foxx Robin Hood. And kind of, because that's like about an hour and a half, right? And you're sitting in the float tank watching that, enjoying yourself. I mean, that seems like a kind of a fun medieval romp. So maybe there's something to having movies, or, you know, I'm watching a few episodes of Bar Rescue in the float tank. And by the way, he's still filming Bar Rescue during COVID. It's like a COVID special. It's about how bars have been dealing with all the
and then he goes into these packed bars.
Well, I think the idea is that they're not packed. And I just I haven't watched any of them yet, because I don't know if we get like the Paramount Network up here, or if it's still
does he go to the
Network.
Bar and there's no one there, and he's like, why is no one in this bar?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I just know he's doing COVID specials. And I feel like we John, maybe we need to watch a few episodes. And I have discussed this with Chris James. Once, you know, the restrictions are lifted, once Chris and I are both vaccinated, and we've discussed this for a couple of years now, but we will be bringing back Podcast Rescue for at least a couple episodes, because I'm still, like, we're still signed up on Chatterbait. So, we may as well take advantage of it, right? We are banned from Live Jasmine for
various
reasons.
Do you have to pay for Chatterbait?
To jack off on it, or to be
no,
on
no.
It?
To you said you were still signed up for it. Like, you made it sound like it's you're paying.
No, Chatterbait. So if you don't know what Podcast Rescue was, it was Chris James and I did a live podcast about Bar Rescue, and we broadcast it on like porno websites. And so I signed up for Live Jasmine, and I had to send like a picture of me holding my passport to some like Hungarian web server, which maybe in retrospect was a stupid move to do, but who's to say?
In retrospect, you're only learning now that it was a stupid move. You're like, I needed 5 years to truly figure
it out. I'm still like 50-50 on it, you know, like maybe it was
a God tier bit. It was, you know, it's like the Velvet Underground, like five people watched it, but it will be on a Wikipedia page. It was a God tier bit. And if you have to suffer identity fraud, then who cares?
You know? Sure. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. But we were banned from Live Jasmine because So I signed up for Live Jasmine, but Chris didn't. So he was on there as an unauthorized model, and mid episode, the stream got cut, and we got an email saying you had an unauthorized model on your stream, which was Chris. And I think I think that episode it was either Rob or Brandon Wardell, but it got cut mid episode. Maybe it was Brandon Wardell, and they were like, "Well, you have like a child on Live Jasmine."
Yeah, that was.
Well, I looked very young back then as well. And so then we moved to Chatterbait because the rules on Chatterbait were like click yes here to sign up. Like those were the rules on Chatterbait. And so Chatterbait was great. We had one of the bartenders from Bar Rescue call us from his restaurant, which was just so fucking stupid. But we're hopeful that we'll be bringing that back. I think we'll probably be sticking with Chatterbait. But we'd love to have all of you guys as guests. Obviously that's my big thing that I'm excited for once COVID is over, is doing the porno Bar Rescue podcast with Chris James. So yeah.
Yeah. It's not recording Block Party in person again. It's the porno website thing.
I'll be recording remotely for the next year.
I'm getting vaccinated on Tuesday. So,
teacher, right?
I'm getting it. I'm going on Tuesday, getting pumped full of shit. You know,
my parents have the vaccine.
Oh, nice.
They're doing great.
That's good.
So you're getting vaccinated. So Greg, have you gotten cause I know in the US you guys have a lot more vaccines than we do up here.
We do. So April 15th is when it becomes open season in California, which I have to wait for. I have, I'm in perfect health. Not contributing to the economy in any. And so at the end of the line to get the vax.
Yeah.
Our county has a dashboard where they've been monitoring cases and now vaccines, like distributing all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's like, they keep getting like, I don't know, just fucking shitloads of vaccines. They got to give some to me eventually. So it does seem like, if it's a thing where you have to like try to get it, I know I'm not going to get it first, but I know eventually there's going to like, it's going to be easy enough that I do get it. So I would guess May maybe for myself. Then you can just, once everyone gets it, then you can go back for seconds whenever you want. It's like a buffet. So after that, I think maybe July, maybe September, I'll get vaccinated again, just with all the extras.
yeah
I think they'll have to be adding stuff, you know, to make it more exciting for the,
well,
for the casual
stale, you know,
vaccine
it,
fan. Yeah.
It stays under the light so long and like, yeah, like it'll protect me from COVID, but it just isn't the same. I want a fresh vaccine. So I'm going to go back and get that when we get the new ones in.
I'm going to inject it into my ball sack. I mean, why not?
I'm not going to do that.
You know, let's try it out. What if my dick and balls get COVID, right? I mean, come on.
I think Greg and I have decided we're taking a stunned silence. We're taking a pass on this bit.
Stunned silence.
Greg and I have decided.
Stunned silence is the sign of a perfect argument. So I win. I'm up 1-0 on this episode.
I think that sound was just Greg and I simultaneously being like, you know what, wasn't your best.
Oh, is there something about putting a needle in your balls that makes you uncomfortable, John? Is that what this is?
That's a weird way to try and turn it on me. I'll give you that. But
is that a? I don't. Is that a thing you've been through, man?
No, but
thing you had to do?
I feel like what if it rocks?
No, he's trying to paint me as like a coward somehow. Like, well, what, you wouldn't get a needle in your balls? That's the way that Stefan likes to turn things around, you know.
Usually it works. Maybe this time it's not. But you can't win them all, you know. I tried.
I understand. Yeah. It's all good. I mean, it's nice that Greg is your friend. Advertises your friend, but he's been siding with me for most of the show.
You.
That doesn't usually happen.
No, I think he knows I'm a big freak. He's in the chat. He knows. He deals with me all the time. So.
Well, so here's the thing is all of our friends in the chat, most of them have problems in their lives. Some of them very similar to mine. Like Jesse's life is very, very similar to mine. And you know, we razz each other about our, you know, our foibles, the problems in our lives as a way to sort of deal with it, to acknowledge these things may be unpleasant for us. And we tease each other about them as a way to sort of diffuse or neutralize those. Like having kids is very stressful. Having, problems with your partner sometimes, you know, whatever. Stefan doesn't have any problems in his life. And so the only thing I can do is be like actually mean to him. There's nothing to tease him about. Like, so when we were playing poker, then like whenever Stefan, when it was like just me or Stefan left, or if he wanted my money, then I'd just be like, doesn't matter, it's just Stefan. And just no selling that for as long as I could, just to try to make him feel bad. It doesn't work because he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go like get a coffee and hang out with my cat. Fuck you, Stefan.
I did that this morning, actually. Irene and I went for a walk to get a coffee, and I got a ham and Swiss tart, and then we hung out with the cat for a bit. So
a ham and Swiss tart.
But it was raining. It was raining. If that, all right. It was raining. So, you know.
I took my kids down to the boba tea place because they've gotten into that. It's only 3 blocks away. It's actually quite hot here today. It's in the mid-70s. It's like very sunny. We walked down there and it's closed. They're having irregular hours. So it's closed. And then it's like one kid, the three-year-old, he wants to go home because he's tired. One of them wants to go across the street to the grocery store and get a popsicle. The other one wants to keep walking and go find another one. And so like everyone is just pissed, and then like we walk, like we're like sweating. So we wind up just walking home. And I did say, everyone just shut the fuck up. We're gonna go home and have popsicles. But yeah, that was like gonna be like our fun outing was going and getting tea. And then it was just like, oh my God, we're three blocks from home. Not that far, but it's hot. And like, we're about to die. But
it sounds like you're constantly living the riddle of like bringing the fox and like the sack of grain and like the goose across the river. Yeah.
So if we put the 3-year-old in the boat with the boba tea, but the popsicles are on the shore and it's 70 degrees out, can we get across the river in time? And then do we can't leave the 3-year-old by themselves. So then do we have to bring? Yeah, I get that.
So I'll say, like, of the two hosts of Block Party, I feel like John has the most like dad energy. Would you agree with that, Greg?
Yeah, clearly. he was talking about the flight sim stuff and then the other boring thing, the float tank. Then I didn't want to talk about this on your show because it's boring also. But I was going to say, you know, I've really been into gardening, especially gardening herbs, because they're easy to take care of, and you just sort of you just go and give them a little bit of water each day, and then you like, you know, pay attention to them. Okay, that's been a fun meditative practice for me too, but it's like so fucking boring.
It's okay, man. It's okay to, I mean, you are actually a dad, so you're allowed to, I guess, have that sort of dad energy. Like, I'm not a dad, so I'm just like, you know, I guess I'm kind of like Stefan, but then I also feel like I need things to escape my hard life, which is not that hard. Whereas Stefan is like, you know, he just fully admits.
But you're like a teacher. Like, that's like a difficult job for sure.
I mean,
right?
Some people could say that I have 1,000 kids. so. Yeah, I'm the librarian, so technically all of the students in the school are my children.
Oh yeah, how's that been going, being a librarian?
It's good, man. It's pretty chill, you know. The library is a pretty chill spot.
Are you are you up on the Dewey Decimal System?
Oh, buddy. I mean, my Dewey Decimaling has always been strong because I'm a huge nerd and I've spent lots of times in libraries. But
yeah,
I mean, really, it's as good as it's ever been. So
I don't know enough about the Dewey Decimal System to like test you here, but like, if I gave you like a topic, would you have a general idea of like where in the Dewey Decimal System it would be located?
Oh, it depends. I'm learning. So I haven't really, I've only been there for 3 weeks, so I haven't shelved every part of the thing yet. So I'm not fully like, so sports is high 700s. Poems are 811. Travel is 920.
Okay.
Asia, I know, European history is like 930, 940. Asian history is 950. Canadian history is like 970.
Now I got one for you. Yeah. Brady Game strategy guides.
Oh, those are actually, we keep those in the magazine section with the easy reads.
Okay. All right. So, that was a trick question. Nicely done.
Thank you. But wow. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, Greg was like, all that other stuff was boring. And then
Stefan
and I are like, let's roll the dice on the Dewey Decimal System.
I was thinking about, so like, for whatever reason, the other day, I was thinking about like, what book did I read the most as a kid? And I think it actually may have been The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Brady Game Strategy Guide. And I remember, because it was like a, you know, you get all the pictures and stuff and all the secrets and everything, and it's a great game. And I would just like read that all the time. And then I think my dog pissed on it at one point. But I just like kept it.
And then you read it more.
So it just smelled like dog piss forever. But I still read it. I powered through and would read the strategy guide all the time. So, yeah, that's the story about how my dog pissed on a Brady Game Strategy Guide. So,
having the dog, which I have two dogs.
Yes.
Is the other element of the chicken and the fox riddle, where you were saying that, and I was thinking about at lunch, you know, because my kids are here all the time, so they eat every meal here. They don't go to school where there aren't dogs. So I make them lunch, and then I send them outside where we have a little picnic table set up for them. So you can sit at the table and eat your food, which is how I would do it and how I've recommended they do it. But what they like to do is they like to sit on the ground and just fucking put their plate of on the ground, and then I would come out and say, don't do that, don't eat off the floor. That's like you have like a mattress with no box spring under it. You can't be like this. You're gonna be the bitch you live like this, people. You need to put your food can't be on the ground when you're eating it. And part of the reason is because I believe that, and then part of it is like, I don't want you getting bugs on it. And another thing is like, the dog is going to come around and she's going to take your food.
Yeah,
if you're not eating it or playing defense, then she's gonna get that food, and it is like, I send one kid out and pray they go to the table, and then like I've got the dog, I know where the dog is, and then yeah, maybe the 3-year-old with his plate, and I need to, that's an escort mission because there's stairs, and he'll just dump it, you know, he'll just one hand it and just like just dump his food if he's not thinking about it, but yes, that's lunch.
This is great. I feel like this is our this is like the ASMR episode of Blocked Party. It's like, just listen to this if you need to like de-stress, calm down. We're just chilling. I mean, we did have that one brief chatterbait section, but the rest has just been mostly wholesome
just
content.
Normal stuff, yeah.
Flight sims, libraries, and you know, feeding children. But let's move on to something a little more controversial, our social media updates.
What a good segue.
Boy, was it smooth.
Stefan and John
are gonna bring you the news. Prepare for a feast of rarefied takes, terrible tweets from verified greats. They'll bring their personal feed to you
with an update on their
social media.
Greg, we always start with the guest. What's going on your social media?
Well, so I'm not a heavy social media user anymore. So I deleted my Facebook, never use Instagram. Obviously, from what I've been saying so far, you could probably guess I don't use TikTok. I do, of course, use Twitter, much less than I used to. I think I would say like, you know, many years ago, maybe this would be like 6 to 8 years ago, it was really fun to do jokes on Twitter. And I kind of got out of my system. I'd say it's kind of like, I don't know, like Bitcoin prices were like much lower then. And it was like, you could kind of like load up on like doing your jokes, and then like, you didn't have to get as many faves, but like, it was like fun. And now you sort of kind of like load up on, like Twitter clout. And now you don't need to do it anymore. So Stefan, like John Hendren, they're like Twitter clout millionaires because they got in really early on Twitter. And I just have a little bit of that from being in the right place at the right time. But what I found is fun is I don't really have the desire to like get, you know, get points anymore to get faves, but I do like being really mean to people. I still like being really mean to people online. But I don't do quote tweets. I do that if I want to promote something. I think, you know, Twitter, all social media are marketing platforms, and they're good if for marketing, and it's bad for you as the user if you mistake what they're for. If you think it's a place to go have fun or have connections or whatever, like it's just for marketing. I think Stefan, even like your name for a little while was like just links to the podcast and cat pics, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's all I do now. I feel like I've posted one joke in the past year, maybe. And I think it hit. But, you know.
So the other thing you can do, and I know that you know this too, is you can just be really fucking mean to people. But I don't do it for show, for other people. I do it just for myself and for them, to make them feel bad. And so in the last week, I haven't done anything spectacular. But over the last year, then, yeah, just like, you know, you're looking like Elon Musk replies, or Jesse's people replying to Jesse after Jesse has kicked the hornet's nest. Yeah. You can go find some little dumbass who no one cares about, zero faves on their stuff, you know, 42 followers. And something that's funny is it's just reply, stupid. and like, no one's going to come to their defense. They're just going to, they'll see it. So that's kind of, and I've had some exchanges, and then it's not always just saying stupid. Sometimes you'll do sort of, sometimes you find an angle, right? Like you go like read their posts, you learn about their life. You go find what maybe you can say that will hurt them personally and go in that way. Maybe you just make an argument about why they're saying is stupid and they should reconsider it. I think maybe one of the last like jokey ones I did was, it was a person replying to something about Elizabeth Warren. It was like, you know, she's going to do whatever. And this person was saying, she's so smart. She knows so much about banks. I trust her because she knows all the bank stuff. And I said, like, no offense if the answer is yes, but are you an actual child? and then she kind of like tried to mix it up with me, but it was clear she was like my mom's age. And I was like, look, I'm tapping out. I'm not going to continue this. I wanted to say something. I had it in the chamber, right? I was like, I have a lot of mean things I could say, but this is not the one.
I mean, the Tesla replies, I think, are that's the real gold mine for just being mean, because I feel like those the people defending Elon Musk in the replies to me are barely qualify as people. So there is no worry about feeling bad. Whereas this Elizabeth Warren lady, it's, you know, she's like a nice mom potentially, right?
Yeah, I think it's just like a naive thing expressed really naively. But yeah, you go find the guys, they have some sort of classical Greek bust as their avatar.
Yeah.
That's open season. You can do whatever you want. So that's kind of, I had one other thing I was going to say about this is someone has someone who's perfectly captured this. Fuck, where's the KD tweet?
He had it this week. Because Kevin Durant has just, I mean, he's obviously a great poster, but just this
incredible
past week
great
alone,
poster,
he has just been like going crazy.
Yes,
I think I know the exact one you're referring to.
I'm trying to find the on 10. The
yes, whenever I'm online, I'm always on 10. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. Yeah. So that's So
yeah,
I've got
it right here. It was a reply to someone. He said, "There's no relax, champ. No relax when I'm on Twitter. I'm on 10 until the second I close the app. You relax." This is like,
yes,
one of the most successful athletes in the world. I love it. It's so good.
It was a very. It had a very Ice T vibe to me. That's like the type of thing that Ice T would say. When I shut Twitter off, I relax, but when I'm on Twitter, I'm always on 10. Hashtag keep it real.
One of the few celebrities who actually understands what posting is all about. And I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And yeah, KD very online. And you can also tell it's truly from the heart. He truly means that. He's not being controversial to get attention, or, you know, things that are polarizing get a lot of attention on social media. He's not saying that for attention. He's saying that because, he is on 10, and yeah, you got his attention, and now you're going to get it. And I think that's the way to approach it. And yeah, Ice-T is the perfect example. I think he actually is a little more chill about it. KD may not be always doing himself the best service there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go online. There are just thousands of people, millions of people. You can go be as mean as you want to. And that's my social media update probably for the year.
The one I always think of, and I'm going to try and find this right now. But it was late last year, or like mid last year, and it was our friend Jesse mixing it up, I believe, with Adam Carolla. And then someone kind of got into it in the replies. I got the post here. And someone was like defending Adam Carolla and then bragging about how they owned an acre of land. And then our friend DB put together like a collage That says, this guy only has 1 acre of land and he's horny for Roseanne as well. And it was a collection of tweets of this guy replying to Roseanne and talking about how sexy she was and how hot her feet were and how he wanted to suck on her toes. And then this guy just deleted his entire account, which hell is, yeah. I mean, that's the goal, I think, at the end of it, is if you can get a weird reply freak to delete his entire shit, you've just won. Like, that's, it's game over at that point.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
That was a great update. Speaking of online freaks, Mikey Miles has an OnlyFans account now. And I wanted to, I mean, our listeners, I know, are familiar with Mikey Miles. Greg, you're fairly familiar with him as well.
I don't understand to me, he's an X-Files guy where I know a lot. I know a lot of the sort of peripherals of things he does, but I do not understand like what sewer he crawled out of, basically.
Yeah, he's legitimately like a very strange and weird and kind of bad guy. I first took note of him with like the very bad meals he posted. We were talking about this before we came on, but he recently posted a picture of some sunny side up eggs with just some weird like brown mass in the middle of the eggs on the pan. He never cleans the pan. His food is very, he'll post pictures of like bowls of just like sopping wet spinach. And then he'll do like hashtag food porn. It's not coming from, there's no sense of irony. This is just a very strange man. He recently had talked about doing it and he has done it now. He has set up an OnlyFans account. And looking at his Instagram, I believe it's $20. And he says he has posted a chair striptease video on there. And John, I wanted to ask you permission. Can we use kind of the Blocked Party money?
Oh my God.
To right sign now up for.
It's actually free, but he only has 2 posts, which you must pay $5 each for.
Oh, okay. Okay. Jesus.
If it's only $5 for the chair striptease, I say we do it.
Okay. So we're going to do it, I guess. Okay. So that was easy. I thought this was going to be like a whole debate where you were like, we can't do this, Stefan. But
I mean, $5 is whatever, you know?
Sure. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of my big update this week.
I'm just surprised at why he would pivot to OnlyFans.
If you follow him on Instagram and you can't now because he has locked his account, I don't think he's accepting any new followers. He does post a lot of shirtless pictures, lot of pictures where he's wearing like Calvin Klein briefs and you can basically see his entire penis.
So there's a bit of a precedent here is what you're saying.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if maybe he got, dinged by Instagram for posting those, you know, slightly more explicit pictures. But yeah, if you're on board, John, that's very good news. So we're going to sign up for, Mikey Miles' OnlyFans account, and we'll kind of let people know what's going on there. But yeah, John, I mean, I'm shocked you're fine with this. This is incredible. I feel like I've really gotten through to you.
Is that what you feel like?
Yeah, I feel proud.
He looks just like he's like it's not worth it. He's just picking his fights. Like I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's $5. You know, it's just like. It is funny to me, you know, I think sometimes people are sort of like, you know, feel like Stefan and I are a bit of an odd couple, like, oh, how did they kind of get together? And obviously Stefan is sort of part of this weird Twitter thing and he has a lot more followers than me. And so I'm sure, especially people who are critical of me are probably like, you know, what is Stefan doing? And when Stefan is left to his own devices, he starts a podcast that's exclusively available on Chatterbait. So... You know, that if nothing else, that should really fill in all the gaps for you. That he has to come on here and ask me if he can spend our money.
I think that shows that I have grown as a person, that I'm asking you permission. I'm coming to you and asking you permission to spend the podcast money on just this. I think probably this would be the stupidest thing we've bought with the podcast money.
I mean, it's only $5, so I feel like that can't possibly outweigh some of the cameos that we've spent like over $100 on that are much stupider. Yeah.
So Mikey Miles is not on Cameo, but he's basically set up like a back alley Cameo where you can just pay him and he'll just send you like an Instagram DM where he's doing. Yeah. So maybe we can look into that as well. I don't know. But if you haven't seen Mikey Miles before, I'm trying to, I guess the best comparison, he looks like the coffee aliens from Men in Black, sort of. You know, when they go to the coffee room and there's all like the little weird, like narrow, like skinny aliens. Yeah. So that's Mikey Miles. You can't follow him on Instagram anymore, unfortunately, but I will keep everyone posted. And that's my social media update, is that Mikey Miles is on OnlyFans now, and we will be signing up for it. John, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Listen, we're growing together, you know?
We are. Yeah, I love it.
Well, you know, I had a bit of a wild week on social media this week.
Sure,
You know, well, you know, what do we really say? I got written up in a lot of places. Like, people have been sending me like really weird articles. Like, I've been in like the Daily Beast and
the
New York Post, which was extremely weird.
Did they reach out for interviews too?
Daily Beast did, and I said no.
Yeah.
But it's very weird. Obviously, if you're following the news this week, a certain gentleman found some purportedly found some shrimp tails in a bag of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And this same individual whether or not he actually copied our podcast, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things, it's like impossible to prove. But essentially, he started a podcast about Cameo a year after Stefan and I had already been doing the Cameo podcast.
2 years, a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. And named it the same thing that our Cameo podcast is called. And, you know, it seems unlikely for someone who traffics in entertainment and has followed Stefan for like 5 years wouldn't know that we were doing Cameo stuff, just because we had been written up in multiple places. We wrote an article in The Atlantic about Cameo.
Didn't we? We were published in the fucking Atlantic. That's so stupid.
That is actually the stupidest thing that's ever happened to this podcast. But yes, Stefan and I had an article in The Atlantic. It was just very strange. Like, you know, it was just a very strange set of circumstances. And he's sort of been known as like an idea thief before. So I just, you know, I really didn't think it would go that far. I kind of was just like, oh, you know, maybe Shrimp Man will find out, you know, maybe he'll claim that he found his podcast idea he stole from us in a bag of Cheerios. And then I did some quote tweet or sorry, some like threaded tweets about, you know, the podcast and all this stuff. And it's just been a wild week, you know, people responding to me. It's like Greg was saying, it's just, you know, people say shit to you and it just like blows your mind. You're like, you know, you have 10 followers. Why are you even here? How did you find this? Who cares? Are you really defending this guy who is being like, you know, accused of a lot worse things? And that was the other thing too, is like some people being like, oh, you're complaining that he stole your podcast. Like, what are you, a fucking loser? You know, it's like, I'm not saying it's anywhere near as bad as the other things he's being accused of. I was just like thinking like, I was just trying to make a joke, and then it went viral, and then people took it way more seriously. And yeah, so it was just like a very weird week in my mentions of people, you know. Tell the other thing too that I found, and I tweeted this too, is like, it seems like people just think that podcasts don't count as anything. Yeah. You know, like there are definitely
I would say generally those people are correct, but ours does count for something.
Yeah. Like, I get it, but it just is like, you know, it definitely seems that people think podcasters, quote, are like this nebulous thing that just like everybody who has a podcast is a piece of shit and they're stupid and podcasts aren't intellectual property and they're not anything. And it's like, you know, we make a living off of this. So that part of it was very strange to me. That whole subset of people who are being like, oh, you can't copy a podcast and what the fuck and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I mean, you can definitely do it.
You got to take a page from KD and like get some sock puppets to go, So obviously, if you engage with all of them, that's going to be exhausting for you. So get some sock puppets and tell them to, you know, go fuck the mother or whatever.
That definitely happened to me this morning. So one of the posts I had was I compared we were going to do a live show, a Cameo live show, and we call our Cameo show Word Up, which was the original title that this guy was going to use. He changed it after we sort of pointed out like, hey, we already have this pretty successful podcast called this. And he didn't copy our art, but it definitely looked you know, we had this sort of graffiti art kind of art style that was sort of, and then they kind of did the same thing. And then this morning, like, I mean, I posted all this stuff on like Wednesday or whenever it was. I woke up this morning and I had like 12 people in my mentions being like, these two things don't look alike. Like, you're so full of shit. You think these two art, like, there's no chance he copied your art. And I'm like, is he paying people to come after me? Is he getting, it was all like 10 follower accounts. Like, I'm like, yeah. Okay, what's going on here? So I just deleted that one tweet. Cause I'm like, I don't need this shit.
Do you have, I think I've asked this before, but do you have it set up where you get notifications from everyone?
Well, just like, I don't get any notifications sent to my phone or anything like that.
Right. But if you click your notifications, you see like all the replies and all the.
Yeah. So during this, wow. I just switched to people I follow. Cause I was like, I can't look at this
again.
Anymore.
That's the one, I think the one of two good things Twitter has ever done is that and the mute function.
Normally I only look at the verified tab, honestly, cause I don't want to talk to anybody who's not verified, but, yeah. You know, no, I'm just joking. But yeah, it's I eventually, it's one of those things. It's like when it first starts happening, you're sort of like, ooh, I'm interested to like see what people are going to say to me. And then eventually you're just like, okay, I can't listen to this anymore. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's really all. That's all there is.
I think
to
it's
it,
a good experience though. It builds character.
yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to say the content of what I did. But a little over a year ago, I said something pretty mean about someone online. And then a lot of big accounts then picked it up in his defense. And then I woke up, I put this up at night, like 8 p.m. and went to bed. And like, yeah, I know like Stefan had seen it. Like my friends had seen it. And I wake up and I have like, you know, the maxed out notification number. And it's just like...
When it shows the plus sign.
Yeah. That's when the plus on there, it's not going good. Yeah.
And just like, it's just like hundreds of people telling me what a piece of shit I am. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I can't keep up with this today.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just sort of, it's good to see that limit of, you know, you got it and then you wait a couple of days and then come back.
Yeah,
just take a couple of days off. Yeah,
just take a few days. So yeah, it was a pretty wild experience, and you know, whatever. I think I'd do it again.
You learned an important lesson.
Yeah, the important lesson was if Jesse Single ever gets outed for anything, I'll be all over that too. That's the lesson I learned. I will be fucking slam dunking that guy to till tomorrow. I mean, he's already done enough bad shit, but like truly, if he does something truly cancelable, I will be the first person in there, baby. Yeah. That's what I learned. If you're a piece of shit and you wronged me in any slight way, I have no problem going after you. So anyway, that was my week on social media. It was fine. I'm fine. Everything's good. And, you know, seems like this might be the end of the road for that guy. And he doesn't seem like a very good guy. So that's just fine by
Hell
me.
Yeah.
Let's move on to my own Block Tale.
What did you tweet? You brought receipts, Block Tale. Woo! No longer can see the post. It's a Block Tale. Woo! You probably deserved it. It's a Block Tale.
It does feel a bit weird when I go last in the social media updates, and then I also do the
you're
Block
segling,
Tale.
You're doing like, the self segue. Yeah.
The self segue.
It's like throwing an alley oop to yourself, you know?
So, Stefan, why don't you set up? So, my block this week, and we've talked about it on the show before because I believe it happened in the middle of an episode.
It happened in the episode with Cole Hirsch, I believe.
Yes.
And so, this guy has always been sort of an online character, we'll say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I think he's definitely, he does a lot of like the viral politics posts about like gun control or, you know, whatever, like just looking for the numbers going up on those good opinion posts that are very easy to do if you want to do them.
Yeah, he loves to just do like, I was looking at his Twitter today, sorry to interrupt, but he loves to just do like, I fucking hate Meghan McCain.
Yes,
and like that's
exactly.
Just the tweet.
Which is
whole tweet.
Again, that's the right opinion to have, but you're posting that for the numbers to go up. It's, whatever, yeah. I understand it. But he in the past year or so has taken to doing drawings. This is Tony Posnansky. He does these drawings with marker, I believe, or pencil crayon. I think
Sharpie
marker.
Sharpie marker. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen them, and we've described them on the show before, they are very. I mean, Greg, you're a father. Are these children level drawings or are they worse?
They're just they're unbelievably bad. They're I mean, yeah, you do try and get your kid, I don't know, maybe around like 4 or 5, you try and get them to recognize the parts of a human. So arms, legs, head, and then you work on the face. You know, a face has eyes, mouth, nose. And his art is unbelievably bad. They're so fucking bad. I hate this shit so much.
Because he'll draw stick men, but it's easy to draw a stick man. It's easy to draw a stick person. And his look like Viking runes, sort of. Like he has drawn the one bad stick man I've ever seen. I didn't know it was possible to draw a bad stick man, but he really has. And he will draw. I mean, I don't even know. They're usually fairly political. They have stickers on them, as you would see on again a child's drawing.
Now this guy's keeping Sandy Lion in business.
And he will. So he'll draw a picture of a stick person. And if it's a celebrity or a political figure, he'll kind of draw a caricature of them on the stick person's face. So Joe Biden, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and they will say something very simplistic. So I've got one, a recent one here. This was posted earlier today, and it's of Joe Biden and the two dogs, the White House dogs, Champ and Major, and he's labeled them Champ and Major, which I think was the right move on his part. And then there is a framed picture of a stick person saying "Animals rock." Then there's a cat saying, "Where is the White House cat?" Then the two dogs are saying, "Dad." And then the Joe Biden stick figure is saying, well, next question. And then underneath that, he has written in all caps, "Where is the White House cat? No question mark." And then he has signed it with a huge signature and dated it as well. And he is selling these for, I think he's selling like 3 or 4 of them at a time for like 200. So this is probably like $50, but obviously selling this for any amount of money is too much. And the interesting thing about this is that I have not been blocked by him despite interacting with him. John, you've been blocked by him. The Blocked Party podcast account has been blocked by him. And the way you'll get blocked by this guy is by sincerely asking to purchase one of his drawings. So I think it is actually impossible to buy a drawing off him because he just assumes anyone asking to buy a drawing is fucking with him. And I think he's right to do that. But John, what happened?
Well, so I will click here. Oh, I see it. It automatically moves me over to that one. Okay. That's annoying. So sorry, I just have to find it here. I had it pulled up and then
Are the DMs still like active even though he blocked you?
Yeah, you can. Okay. I can still find them.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see here. Just about there. Okay. So I said, "Hey, Tony, you have any of those art pieces left? Love your stuff."
Okay.
That's what you think someone who wants to buy the art sure. would say, right?
Yeah.
He responded in less than 30 minutes. "So it's extremely obvious you're trolling me, but curious which post caused the trolling. Who shit posted my art? And don't go with the 'what are you talking about' shit." So I said, "Oh, I host a podcast, bracket, very popular, and we are recording an episode and your art came up. I mean, we do think your art is a little unconventional, but I do genuinely want a piece for our podcast studio. This is the honest truth, not trolling. Let me know if you're interested."
And that's, you weren't trolling.
And that is the honest truth.
100%.
If we got a Poznanski, it would be up in the studio.
Can you imagine, yeah, a Tony Poznanski original hanging below the Blocked Party sign right behind John's head there? I mean,
100%. Wonderful.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And he, so I said, "Yeah," I said, "This is the honest truth, not trolling. Let me know if you're interested." And he said, "I'm not at all. Fuck off." And then blocked me.
And then blocked you. But then he also got into it with us on the actual account too, I believe.
I think. Let me double check that as well.
Because I think that was the case where he was like looking us up and was like, "You guys aren't very popular. No one listens to your
stuff."
Oh,
that's why I said very popular. Yeah. So, oh yes. Yeah, you're right. So then I went, so then I switched over to the Blocked Party account and I said, "Still interested, even though you blocked me, sad face emoji." And then he wrote, "LOL, stop, just just stop, which at least we got a laugh out of him, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. And then I said that. I said, at least I made you laugh. I am being serious about buying one, but no worries if you don't want to sell one to me. Enjoy life. No, you aren't. Not at all. I think you think you're smarter than everyone else. You aren't. Post screenshots of whatever. You're a scumbag. Put more effort in trolling me so you can brag to your other left burners. Like Bernie burners. Your podcast isn't popular. What you're doing is if I shitted all over your podcast and picked it apart and said anyone can do it. All it takes is a mic. It's amazing people want to fuck with me for no reason, but it's cool. I hope you got your rocks off.
It doesn't even
off.
Take a mic. Greg knows it doesn't even take a mic.
Exactly. And so then... So when he had the no, you aren't, not at all, I think you're smarter than everyone else, there was a 4-minute break. And then that's when he wrote the your podcast isn't popular, what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote, did it take you 4 minutes to write that? And then he said, which account shit posted me? You and other shit verifieds are asking. So now I'm just curious. You're telling me you put all this time and effort into a podcast that maybe 50 people listen to? You work hard on a podcast that has like 60 subscribers for over 2 years? Man, instead of shitting on me, maybe work on your craft. You have 5,000 followers on a quote popular podcast. And then he blocked me. So
yeah, I don't know. The subscriber numbers are inaccurate. He got those wrong. Yeah, I'll just say that right now.
He's incorrect there. So
he's one of my favorite guys online. He had a really big meltdown a couple weeks ago, and he has since deleted the post. But he was yelling at like it's the type of meltdown where he starts yelling at the people who ostensibly like him, and it's the type of meltdown you see a lot of with, if you're familiar with Chris James and his YouTube show, you see this a lot with someone like JJ McCartney, who will get so fed up with all the prank calls that instead of getting mad at the people prank calling him, he will get mad at his actual listeners for not calling in and like defending him from the prank callers. And that's what Tony did, where he was yelling at his actual supporters, and it was very funny. I just want one of his drawings, dude. I want one so bad.
So do I.
Bad.
We got to figure out a way. And so these are some of his tweets from lately. Because, pardon me. So now he's moved into the whole motivational grift. So it's like not enough to like sell stick figure drawings to people. But now he's doing this whole you are loved, everybody loves you, you know, type thing. And so this is his. So he has this new thing. He calls it's like a series he seems to be doing that are called The Lies of Anxiety and Depression. And so what he will do is he will put at the top of the page, he puts like stickers of like something happier. So in this case, it's three rainbows.
Sure.
Then he draws this stick figure, which you're right. It is the most heinous looking stick figure I've ever seen. What he does is he draws an X.
Yes.
And then he puts the body and the head coming up through the X. So it looks fucking horrible.
So it looks like it has a really long neck. It's so fucked up.
Super long. So it says, you are loved. You are wanted. You are needed. You are beautiful. You are special. You are worth it. And those are all in different color Sharpies. And then he signs it, and he calls this one the mermaid edition of the Lies of Anxiety and Depression, because he puts a mermaid sticker at the bottom of the thing, and it just says in a thought bubble, depression and anxiety will try and tell you different. Don't listen. They are huge liars.
All right.
And he's saying these are different editions. So like mermaid edition has a mermaid sticker. He has like a unicorn edition with a unicorn sticker. And he literally wrote at the bottom mermaid edition, March 24th, 2021, and then signed it.
Greg, you were going to say something.
Oh, so, I do think I could do these. and I wonder if he would unblock me if I started doing them and then selling them for cheaper than he is.
Just undercutting him?
The exact things he's doing. That's actually a really funny idea.
And just, that would be a really good bit, just getting in his replies and just drawing the exact same thing.
I'm working on the assumption there is a real market for this. There are lots of people who want art just like this, and they're forced to go to Tony Posnansky and pay exorbitant fees because he's the only one producing it at this time. So what if I could get, you know, a cheaper producer for someone who needs the fucking, the owl edition of the exact same thing you just said.
Yeah.
I think it's worth a try.
I found a couple other good tweets. So someone wrote, someone pays you for those, an adult that draws worse than a four-year-old. And he quote tweeted it and he wrote, if your four-year-old draws about anxiety, depression, and political matters, I would suggest you spend more time with your child if the courts let you.
Okay.
And I love that the first reply on this is from a guy named Denver Rick. And he wrote, that's some Twitter napalm right there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love Denver Rick. Rick's my new guy.
That's incredible.
That is so say on the, funny.
His older thing, I guess he still does it, the thing of saying like really obvious, agreeable political statements. The king of that is Jeff Tiedrich, and I've been doing a bit with him for a while. I kind of fell off after Trump lost, and then Biden was made the president. It became less rewarding after that. So Jeff Tiedrich is a much more successful version of that, and it's but much more repetitive also. So it's always like Jesus Christ, Jesus fucking Christ. The president is a gibbering shit monkey. And so I just replied, that's a mirror. And I did this. I tried to do it for every post that it made any sense for. I followed him so I could see his posts when they came out. And sometimes I just have to like, it was part of my morning routine at work is like come in, go through Jeff's feed, find all the ones that I was going to say that's a mirror too. But that dude does not read them. He never blocked me. And some of his followers would reply to me, but not a lot of them. I think for whatever reason, they're just not seeing it. But yeah, that was a guy who does that. And I tried to make his life bad, but for whatever reason, I don't think it worked.
He's got his shields up, I think. Like he's not reading replies at all. Tony Posnansky will read like everything.
Oh, he reads them all. And it's weird because he does seem to have fans, I get. Like one of the replies to this, I'm certainly not qualified to be an art critic, but I find your art brilliant in how it captures moments in current events, how it expresses valid thoughts, and how fantastic I think the artist is as a person. There are many reasons why I admire your art. Those are a few. And that's like not, that's just like a regular person's account. Like I looked at their account and they just like, so I don't understand. And then he's on this new thing where he'll talk about how brilliant his like art days are, like when he has like a big, he'll be like, like there was one where he's like, I was kind of tired today, but I thought of like three amazing jokes, so I had to make art. And this one was good. This is from today. Oh, sick. Good day. This is at 5:33 a.m. So 8:30 a.m. I guess for us. I'm in a good mood, or 8:30 for him, 5:30 for us. I'm in a good mood today. Yesterday I rested. I needed it. Today I'm in full form. I even had three absolutely horrible art DMs and I'm still spunky. So today will be a good day.
I just, all I want to know is, has he ever actually sold a piece of his art? I want someone to find that out and let me know. If someone is able to buy his art and send it to us, we will forever be in your debt. Cause there's no fucking way we'll be able to get it. I don't think he's too cagey, you know?
What we would have to do is like, you'd have to create an account and tweet from it regularly, normal things, and then follow him, and then try to get it.
Maybe we can do it from Cowboy Feral.
I think we can do it. I'll try. I mean, I'll try.
That's our goal this
year. I'll just start tweeting about sports. I'll get one of those bios where I'm like, Packers.
You got your favorite team. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Packers, Bulls, Rangers, Giants. Dad, father of three, a loving husband, go LSU.
And you gotta say not necessarily in that order. That's like a good joke.
That's the big one too.
Yeah,
love God, my family, and the Packers. Not necessarily in that order. Hashtag go Pack. Hashtag go LSU.
That might do it. That might do it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think we can, but it's gonna. Yeah, I'm gonna have to tweet for real for like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I tried, then I mean, yeah, he got it immediately. I mean, my handle was, I guess, offensive. I guess you can see who I follow or whatever. But yeah, it was. I just wrote, "How can I buy your art, sir?" and just immediately blocked. No reply. Just shut the door on me.
I mean,
it is weird that he seems very.
I respect it almost. I just want to say, like, I sort of respect, because he's right to block us.
He's
right that we're fucking with him and we want to own his art, ironically. So he's 100% correct, and he can like read the situation very well, and I'm honestly impressed by it.
Yeah, no, he definitely seems to, even in the DMs we had with him, and I've seen him tweet stuff like this before, he's very concerned with like, you know, with like flushing out the mole. Like he always thinks whenever he gets like a flood of us in his DMs, it's because his art got posted somewhere or someone was like, you know, someone posted it and then they were like, oh, go bug this guy or whatever, where it's like, no, we just, you know, we're just stupid.
You have to think if people were buying it, someone would buy it and then they would post about it and then he would retweet them. And if that's not happening, because like if you like sell a book or whatever, that's what you do, right? Like no one's fucking buying it.
I would agree with you, although he did post one. Like 2 days ago of someone sending that in and was like, the guy was like, I bought this for my wife and moved her to tears.
It is happening. Yeah. I would take that at its face.
I think she was crying because she expected like an actual good anniversary gift.
Yeah. That's must be what it was. Yeah. Yeah. Here it is. At Tony Posnansky, your art came today. I gave my wife the Mermaid Edition depression piece. She loves it. Brought her to tears. She wanted me to tell you, thank you so much. And then there's a picture of the woman like holding the art up. So like, I do think he sells some of it, but like, you're right. I would agree with you. Like if he was selling a ton of it, you would think that those would be like a lot of his retweets.
Yeah. Can I say, I'm scrolling his feed right now. And, He's retweeting user Laser Turkey. His name is Mary Louise Mack. And her post just says, just got my second Pfizer shot. And that's the whole post. And she has like 59. Like, she's just, what are you fucking doing, dude? Who, like, what a strange, strange thing to retweet from someone saying a post with essentially like, it's just nothing. It's just an update. It's like, I got my shot. That's
he's trying to post about the vaccines and like trying to encourage people to get them and stuff.
That is so fucking weird.
It is very,
but maybe
strange.
I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, you're right. He's a strange man. Let's move on. We don't do listener blocks in the bonus episode. So we're right here with the top three. Did Stefan tell you about this, Greg?
No, of course he didn't.
Yeah, that's on me.
Is it the regular top three or a different one?
It can just
be
anything.
No, it's like you choose a top three and then we do it.
Oh, okay,
to end the show.
It's just the normal show format that I do know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you listen to the show, not because Stefan told you what the show format is.
No, but I didn't tell him anything because I knew he listened to the show. So.
And also, I told Stefan one time, I have an idea. If you ever let me on the show, then I'm going to do this top three. So are you ready for it?
Oh, perfect.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go.
So. If you had to eat a little bit, like a teaspoon of poop, how would you do it?
To eat a teaspoon of poop.
Oh. That's right.
Okay. Do you want to go? What's your number three, Greg?
My number three is I'm going to mix it into a lasagna. Cause I think there's like a lot of stuff there, some textures. It's kind of, I feel like the acidity, and it's just kind of be mixed in. You have all these herbs to sort of cover the flavor. I feel like, and you know, I can eat a pretty good amount of lasagna, so that the teaspoon will be spread out quite a bit. I actually think I could do that probably without issue, to be honest.
I'll be honest. I might've already eaten lasagna with a teaspoon of poop in it. I couldn't tell you.
So my number three way is, mixed up in a lasagna.
Okay. That's pretty good.
I'm thinking a very, very spicy burrito. And I believe it's similar, like the spice levels and, you know, you got some peppers in there, whatever. And there's a lot of different textures in the burrito as well. And you're not going to know where the poop is because it's going to be kind of hidden in there. So you don't have the visual cue of seeing the poop going into your mouth. So I think, an extremely spicy burrito, would be my number three. John?
Okay, well, I'm a huge fan of the television show Nathan For You. And okay. You may remember one of the very early episodes. It might have even been the first episode of the show. There was a poo-flavored frozen yogurt. That was yes. Nathan's, you know. So I would just want to experience that just to say like, oh, I want, you know, because I think even if you're someone who thinks to yourself, like, I would never want to eat a poo frozen yogurt, you would be a bit curious. Like, even in the show, people were eating it. You know, I'd like to put myself in the shoes of the people who were there on that fateful day when Nathan decided that. Plus, I think if you're familiar with how frozen yogurt machines are loaded, it's like a lot of liquid that gets loaded into the top of the machine that, you know, and then the machine freezes it or whatever. So I think if you just had a teaspoon in there with like regular frozen yogurt, then you put a bunch of toppings on it, it wouldn't be great, but it just wouldn't be that bad. And it would put me into the zone of the Nathan For You show. So that's my number three.
Interesting.
All right. Greg, number two.
My number two is, you know, every once in a while, then you'll see this on Twitter, like these charts of like different hot dogs people eat all over the world. And then some of them are very, very different from the hot dogs that I'm used to. And so I think I could get a hot dog, a toasted bun, and I could sort of spread the poop on both sides of the bun. and then you get the, yes, probably a spicy sausage in there. You know, maybe some pickled jalapenos on one side, fresh jalapenos. I think maybe some like nacho cheese, maybe kind of just a couple different things to spice it up. But then also, I don't know, just kind of make it go down smooth. So I think kind of like a take on a chili dog, but like a real spicy chili dog.
Okay. I think that would work.
I think if the bread's toasted, I think you can kind of, they'll kind of like absorb into the bread. That's kind of my thought on how you get it to stay.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. So my number two, I think like a boozy chocolate milkshake. So the poop will sort of, obviously it'll get kind of mixed in, but if you have it's a very, very chocolatey milkshake and you get like one of the ones that has like a few shots of whatever in it. So I think the shots, the alcohol will sort of overpower the poop flavor. And sort of mix that in with the chocolate a little bit. And then again, you have the visual aspect of like, well, this could just be a chunk of chocolate for all I know. So I'm not going to have that visual cue of like knowing when the poop is inside my mouth, and you're sucking it through a straw. So you could potentially just like blast it all the way back into your throat there and not taste it too much. You know what
my
I mean?
My big problem would be if it got stuck in the straw.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, you kind of like liquefy it a little bit is what I'm thinking. Right. And then you're not too worried about that. And hey, I'm using a regular plastic straw. Okay. I'm not using any of these damn paper straws that we all hate. Right, fellas?
Yeah, I nailed it.
Yeah.
John? Okay. My number two. So my main concern here is that I don't want to ruin things I already like.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like if you're going to do this and it ends up being like a horrible experience, it's the same reason why I didn't eat that many pickles on the stream yesterday, because I love pickles and I don't want to like eat 7 pickles in one sitting and upset my stomach. And then I never want to eat pickles again. So I would say number two, I'm putting it in like a blended coffee because I like hate coffee.
Okay.
And coffee's also a very strong bitter flavor. So it wouldn't ruin coffee for me because I don't drink coffee ever. And I do think the bitterness of the coffee, like, so it's not a pleasant experience. Like, I'm making this purposely unpleasant. It's not like it's something I would enjoy drinking. But if it was just like a life or death, I had to do this, I could just get through it. And I feel like the bitterness of the coffee might take away some of, because I genuinely might be like, oh, maybe coffee just tastes like this anyway.
Yeah, that's smart. So that's a good way to approach it, I think. Yeah. Greg, number one.
Yeah, I think maybe. I don't really want to ruin any more food. I think that's a good perspective on it. I think maybe I just take it straight. Just give me the spoon, and then I have like a glass of milk to chase it. Maybe it's like one of those things where you need.
I think that's reasonable. I think that's good.
I mean, I don't think it's reasonable. No, that's not the way I would describe it.
But I think coming from the point of view of ruining food that you like, I think I never thought of that. Yeah, that's no, I like that. Yeah, because then you're only ruining poop now, right? So,
ah, damn, I'm never going to have this again.
Yeah, this really ruined poop for me, eating poop.
Yeah, just kind of get it over with quickly. I think if it works, if I successfully, you know, don't, you know, if I can get it down fast, then drink some milk or whatever, then we're out of the woods.
That's good.
Smart.
So my strategy here for number one is I'm taking some food that I like, and I'm sort of like fucking up the food to cover for the taste. So what I'm doing here is I'm putting it in a grilled cheese with very, very strong cheese, and like dipping mustard or like spicy ketchup, and I'm burning the shit out of the grilled cheese. So you've got that burnt bread that I think will cover up the majority of the poop taste. And then you also have the very strong cheese. You're going to have, maybe you have some pickles in there as well. You've got a spicy mustard or spicy ketchup, to sort of cover for it as well. But I'm covering all my bases here, and I'm fucking up the food itself to cover for the poop taste, which I think would work.
I like that.
Yeah.
My number one, I think, my mom makes this like cheesy, like mashed potatoes dish that I really like. It's almost as served like in like a casserole dish.
Yeah.
And so I think, if you put the poop in with the mashed potatoes, you'd kind of spread it again. It's sort of the spreading around where it's like, I feel like you really want to avoid taking it all in one bite for some, you know, I feel like if there's some sort of even distribution, like one teaspoon hopefully wouldn't fuck things up. I mean, a teaspoon is small, right? So you just hope it spreads out. There's like lots of cheese. There's like heavy cream in these potatoes, green onions. So like you wouldn't, you know, ideally you just hope that it would sort of get masked by the sharp flavor of the cheese, the sharp flavor of the green onions, and just the fact that it's like a small amount in a bigger, it's almost a lasagna theory, but done with potatoes. So that's my number one.
But the risk again is ruining your mom's.
I know. And it's a risk for sure, because they're so good. It's like one of the best things she makes.
That's also a very like aromatic dish. I think you're going to be tasting it before you taste it, you know,
maybe it's hard to say, you know? I'm taking a risk with that one for sure. I probably should have put coffee number one. There's really no way to know, and there's no way I'll find out. So that's also good too. Greg, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Is there anything you like to plug?
No, not really.
You got a new microphone.
I just have a regular job. I do enjoy doing stuff with Stefan and, you know, the gang every now and then. But no, I got nothing to plug. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, you can follow Greg on Twitter at weedguy420boner. And thank you very much for donating to the show. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you back here with another bonus edition of Block Party very, very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.